be again in the book of Philippians. I've kind of been stuck in Philippians now for a while, and it's just one of those books. I just love Philippians. I love Paul, his letter to the church at Philippi, and the relationship that he had with them, and the things that he shared with them. And this morning, oh, by the way, today is Mission Sunday. And we forgot to mention that. Today is Mission Sunday. And we love sharing the gospel. That's, you know, our church, we're part of the Assemblies of God, which the Assemblies of God formed 99 years ago in Hot Springs, Arkansas. 300 pastors gathered together and said, we want to be a missionary force in this world to spread the gospel around the world. And that was the beginning. Our primary mission from the very beginning as the Assemblies of God Fellowship is to spread the gospel, to share Christ, to be a missions agency to the world. And we support many missionaries every month. And every month we write a check, we send it off to support our missionaries. And I think right now we have about 25 missionaries that we support every month. And they're all around the world. And your giving to missions helps us to do that. And so each month we try to remind you of Mission Sunday and of the missions work that we do. And we ask you to give above your tithes to missions to help us to share with these missionaries and help them to go around the world. Your tithe helps us to accomplish our local mission right here. Giving to the missions helps us to, we give that then to the missionaries that are around the world. And we love supporting them. We love having them here and come in and share and what God's doing. We love to be a part of sending them out. And so we just encourage you each month to give to missions. And be sure and mark your check or your offering envelope for missions, what you want to give. And that money goes directly to our missionaries. And we love missions. You know, speaking of missions, I read a story this week that really touched my heart. And it was a story of two young Moravian men about 250 years ago. And the Moravians were a group of people who got a hold of the Bible. You know, years ago, you couldn't get a hold of the Bible. And they had got the Word of God. They began to print the Word of God. And these people became passionate about God and the Word of God and sharing the good news of Christ. Well, about 250 years ago, two Moravian men heard of an island in the West Indies which was virtually owned by one plantation master. And he was a violent man who treated his slaves with contempt and would not allow them to have any witness of Christ, anything to do with Christianity, you know, nothing to do with Christianity. He would not allow it at all. So these two young men heard about this island with these slaves that could not hear the good news of Christ. They became gripped and they became burdened to the point that they decided that Jesus loved those people enough that he died for them, that they were going to sell themselves into slavery to this master. Since he would not allow any preachers or anybody to come there and share Christ, that they would sell themselves to the plantation master, that they would become a slave. They took the money that they received for selling themselves, bought themselves one-way tickets to go there and to live amongst that community of slaves so that they could share the gospel, knowing that they would never return, never see their families again. And as they said their farewells and their goodbyes to their families and got on the ship, and as the ship began to pull away, one of them cried out, "May the lamb that was slain receive the reward for his suffering." And that became the cry of that small Moravian community who in the years to come sent out 2,158 recorded missionaries out of their small community. Jesus had died for people who would never hear the gospel unless someone went to tell them. And these men said, "We will go and tell them." Now, when you hear the story of those two young men, we're tempted to think, that's not normal. Selling yourself into slavery, leaving it all behind, leaving your family and everything, leaving it all behind to go and be a slave to share Christ. That's not normal. Well, let me ask you this morning, what is normal for the Christian life? What is a normal Christian life? Well, Paul shares in Philippians what became his new normal. And that's my message this morning, the new normal. I hope you got a sermon outline. And as you come in, our ushers had them so you can follow along and take notes. We encourage you to save them and to file them away. And as God places it on your heart, you can go back and refer to them. But Paul came to a realization of what he needed to do. That there needed to be a radical change in his life. And his old normal became new. His life became completely different. And as we begin reading this morning in Philippians chapter 3, let's begin reading at verse 1. He says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again as it is a safeguard to you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship God by the Spirit, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in his flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Paul here is describing for us his new normal, to count all things loss to know Christ, to gain Christ, he says. Notice there in verses 7 and 8 that three times he uses the word loss. I consider it all loss. He says, I have lost everything to gain Christ. He gave it all up. It was all lost to him, and he gladly considered it lost so that he could know Christ and have Christ. Well, what was his normal? What did he lose? What did he give up? Well, if you read there, I just read in verses 4, 5, and 6. He talks about what he had, who he was. He was a religious man. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, he says. He was a Pharisee. He had zeal. He persecuted. He was so zealous. He was out persecuting the church. He said, I love this phrase. He says, for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. And then he goes, but that which I thought was my profit, he says, now I consider it all loss. It's rubbish. All of that is nothing so that I can gain Christ. All of that is nothing. I gave up the things that I thought were profit, have now become loss. Kind of like for those of you out here who are accounting people and you know accounting and stuff. He said, I'm taking that which was in my profit margin and I have moved it from my profit margin, from my assets over to my loss and to my liabilities. That which I thought was a profit is now over here. It's in the loss column. It's a loss. That word loss comes from a terminology to describe that which is lost at sea. When a ship was at sea, was in a bad storm and it was full of its gear, its product, and full of all its goods and the things that it was carrying. When it got in a bad sea, they would have to many times begin to throw things overboard. They would have to take their goods, their possessions, sometimes even their gear and their tackle, and they would have to throw it over. They would toss it overboard so that the ship would become lighter so that they would survive the storm. That was called a loss at sea. And what Paul is saying, that which I thought was a profit to me, I threw it overboard. I got rid of it. I threw it overboard. I now just consider it something I don't have to have. I threw it overboard so that I can have Christ. Nothing in life, he's saying, is more important than knowing Christ. Nothing. My nationality, my heritage, my zeal, my legalistic righteousness, all of that is nothing. It's all rubbish. If you look at the King James Version, it uses the word dung. It's dung. It's garbage. It's rubbish. All of it is loss so that I can have Christ. Paul says, I gave up all of this so that I can have Christ. You know, as Americans, what is our normal? Paul says, I gave up my normal so I could have a new normal. Our normal as Americans many times is we live in a country with very much that we have. We have a lot of goods. We have a lot of things. We have a lot of possessions and houses and cars. And many people today and many people who claim to be Christians, their normal is nothing more than a very self-centered, self-indulgent life. It's all about our career and our money and our possessions and our cars and our popularity and our fame and all of our toys and all of the things of life. I'm not saying that those things are necessarily evil. Not saying that having nice things and a good job and preparing for a future, there's nothing wrong with that unless it is in the way of us following Christ and knowing Him. If that is our normal, then we need a new normal. If our normal is just living a self-centered life and a self-indulgent life, my friends, today we need a new normal. Like Paul that says, I'm going to throw it all overboard because I don't want anything to keep me from knowing Him and gaining Him and pursuing Him. He said it's all rubbish compared to knowing Christ. compared to him. Those things are okay, but they don't measure up compared to knowing Christ. Jesus put it this way for us. He said in Mark 8, 34 through 38, "Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it?'" Everyone say, "What good is it?" For a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? What good is it?" That's what Paul was saying. What good was all of that compared to Christ? It was of no good. It's rubbish. I'm going to toss it overboard so that I can gain Christ. One day Jesus was walking along and he found a man named Levi. Levi was sitting at the tax collector's booth there in Luke chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. And he saw a tax collector there, it says, by the name of Levi, sitting at his tax booth. And Jesus looked at Levi and he said, "Follow me." Two words, "follow me." And it says Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Got up, left everything, and followed him. It was interesting, and I know I've shared this before, but I want to share it again today. It's interesting, as you look in the Greek, it says it like this. As you read it in the Greek text, it says this. It says that he left everything, then he got up and followed Christ. Before he moved, before he acted out, when Jesus said, "Follow me," in his mind and in his heart, he knew that if I get up, it's going to cost me. If I get up and follow him, I'm going to have to leave everything else behind. And he made that decision, it says. He left everything behind in his mind, in his heart. And then he stood up and followed Christ. That's what Paul is saying. I made a decision that all of that, I'm going to toss it overboard. It's rubbish. It's no good. I'm going to leave it all behind so that I can pursue, so that I can follow Christ, so that I can gain him, because I want to know him better. And he began to follow him. I'll throw it all overboard to know Christ. In verse 7, he says, "Loss for the sake of Christ." In verse 8, he says, "Loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." In verse 9, he says, "It's all rubbish that I may gain Christ." And in verse 10, he says, "I want to know Christ." None of it compares to knowing Christ. I want to know him. I'm going to toss it all overboard so that I can know him. When Paul uses the word "know," he's talking about to know personally, to know by experience, to know face-to-face, firsthand. You know, we can know of a lot of people, but do we know them personally? Paul was, like many people today, he had a knowledge of God. He was trained under the teacher Gamaliel, who was the top leading religious teacher of his day. He had studied his theology. He had memorized scripture. He had become a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Like he said, he had become legalistic righteousness, faultless. And yet, one day, as he was on the road to Damascus. He thought he knew God. He thought he knew God. He thought he was doing God's work by persecuting the church and killing Christians and putting them in prison. He thought he knew God and was doing what God wanted him to do. And one day he's on the road to Damascus. He's going to Damascus. He's going to put more Christians in prison. He's going to torture and torment more Christians. And all of a sudden, he met God that day on the road to Damascus. And surprise, surprise, it was Jesus. The one who he was persecuting. The one who he was persecuting his followers. And he met Jesus that day on the road to Damascus. And the surprise of his life, the one that he thought was the enemy of God was actually God. You can find that in Acts chapter 9, that whole story. It was Jesus. And after that encounter with Jesus that day, he said, all that other stuff, it's rubbish. It's toss it overboard. I'm going to follow him. I want him. I want to know him. I want to know him more. I don't want anything to stand in my way from knowing him. I don't want anything to be a roadblock to knowing him. I want to know him. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you here today have been married 20 years or more? Raise your hand. 20 years or more. How about 30 years or more? Keep your hand up. 30 years or more. 40 years or more. There's still a few. 50 years or more. I see. 1, 2, 3. 60 years or more. Oh, there's the winners back there. Lee and Barbara. 60 years of marriage. You know, you kind of know each other a little better today than you did 6 years ago, right? Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, you know, 60 years ago, you probably thought you knew each other. Ann and I tomorrow will celebrate our 36th anniversary. Yeah, 36 years. And you know, when we got married, we thought we knew each other pretty good. Nah. Nope. And that's the way it is with the Lord. We think we know him, but my friends, as we toss things overboard, as we press forward, as we pursue him, and day after day and year after year, we have that relationship with him, and we know him, and we spend the time with him, and we walk with him, we become to know him more and more. And that's what Paul was saying. All of those things are rubbish compared to knowing Jesus and walking with him and knowing him and having that relationship with him. And it only gets better and better as the years go on. We're going to spend eternity getting to know him because there's so much to know about him. So he said, the new normal, my new normal is to throw it overboard and to follow Christ. To have that new life and power that comes through Christ. He says, my new normal is to have his life and his power. Notice verse 10. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. The new normal isn't an improved life. It's an entirely new life. that God gives us. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. The old normal is gone. The new normal has come. C.S. Lewis wrote this. He says, Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. Amen? It's a new life. Paul thought he knew God until he met Jesus. And now he says, I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know him. With resurrection life comes that resurrection power. He says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. In Romans 8, verse 11, it says, If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. We never need to forget that. Is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the spirit who lives in you. Ephesians 1 verse 17 through 20 says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably, I like that word. Say it with me. Incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, says that power, that incredibly great power that raised Jesus from the dead is for you who believe. It is in you. He lives in you. And he has provided it for you today. For you. For me. It's for us who believe. It's for us who believe. Christ gives us new life. He gives us his resurrection power. That's the new normal. That's the new normal as a Christian, is to have resurrection life and resurrection power in our lives. But you know, before you have a resurrection, you have to have a death. Before you can have resurrection life, there has to be death. Before you can have the new normal, you have to throw the old normal overboard. In Romans 6, verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Amen? Amen. If we have died with Christ, we will live with him. When the old normal is gone, when the old normal is dead, we will live the new normal with Christ. His resurrection life, His resurrection power in our lives. And the Apostle Paul says it's all rubbish compared to that. Amen? It's all garbage compared to having that life that we have in Christ. And he goes on to say in verse 12 through 14, he says, My focus now has changed. My focus now has changed from doing all of this and being a very religious and keeping all the ritualistic laws and to keeping all the legalistic righteousness that I was concerned with. All of that has changed. My focus has changed now to just Jesus. Jesus. And he goes on to say there in verse 12 through 14, I haven't attained it all, but he says, I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. I press on. He says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. My new life, my new normal now is very focused on Jesus. 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 Church, the greatest thing that we can do in life is to be sure that our life is focused on Jesus. Everything else compared to that is garbage. All of our other dreams and plans and visions are nothing. They're garbage compared to following Him, knowing Him, pursuing Him, pressing on toward the goal of Christ Jesus. So today, let me ask you, what do you need to throw overboard? Worship team, would you come this morning? Is there anything in your life that is keeping you, like Paul said, from knowing Him? Are there things in your life that would be roadblocks, that would be hindrances, that would be things that would keep you from that relationship with Him that He desires? What is it that I need to move from my profit column to my loss column? Because what I thought was profitable to me is really not. And I need to toss it overboard. Will you bow your heads with me this morning and just take a moment and close your eyes? You know, for many people, there's never been a change in normal. Normal is I get up and live my life and do what I like and do what I want and do what pleases me. And God gets my leftover time, my leftover attention, my leftover money. Is that normal? Is that God's normal? What do I need to throw overboard today so that I can know Christ?